Years ago, I went up to a priest friend of mine in the midst of some incredibly complicated ecclesiastical event, and I said, "How are you?" And he looked me in the eye and said, "Do you really want to know?" That's kind of been my stock response since last Tuesday evening. How are you? Do you really want to know? Because I'm not even sure yet. All sorts of things have been going on, and I would imagine that one or two of you may identify with that, or three, or four, or 50, or 100. But what a week. I will say it is good today, at the start of a new week, to be among companions. I don't know you that well. I've met some of you and enjoyed being here before, but it's good to be here. It's good to be with companions along the way, as together we may be able to ask one another, "So, how are you?" and have the time to listen and to care for one another as we go through transition. Now, our political system allows 2 months of transition between the election of someone in the White House and other public offices and the time they take office, and I'm going to need that 2 months. Glad we got it. I need the time to adjust, to say, now what? It's a new week, it's going to be a month, and then months, and then years. So, what to do? Now, along with that, of course, went the extra pressure that I have got today, because also Wednesday morning, I was reminded of the fact I had to preach on Sunday. Oh God, what am I going to say? God, what would you have me say? God, what needs to be heard? I said, well, do what you do. Take a look at the gospel. And the temple's fallen down, things are falling apart, and I don't know if you were listening, but as you really paid attention to what Jesus is saying to his followers about, guess what's up ahead for you all? There are going to be wars and rumors of wars and insurrections and betrayals and trials and tribulations, and some of you will be put to death. And at the end of all that, I said, the gospel of the Lord, and you said, yup. It's one of those Sundays when I say the liturgical response would be, what? So I said, maybe that's not the place to start. Let me go back. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Malachi, who talks about arrogance. No, that's not it. You know, maybe I can just call in sick. They got priests here who can take care of this, right? But then Paul reminded me, if you don't work, you don't eat. So I'm going to preach. And ask God to say, okay, Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone, as the old hymn goes. What is it that I might be able to say? And I sat and listened. And I felt myself drawn away from the closeness to the texts of the day to that wonderful collect we hear on this particular Sunday every year. The Sunday on which we talk about giving thanks to God for the gift of all of Holy Scripture, written for our understanding and our learning. So we need to pay attention to it. And I got really appreciatively hooked on the word all. And I remember that, yeah, Luke's words about Jesus, that's one episode of the series. And those words about from Malachi, about arrogance and all of that, that's one episode of a series. And like television shows today, there's an arc story. I grew up with TV shows where you watch one episode and that's the whole thing. From beginning to end, it all works out. Half an hour, boom. You don't have to worry about what happened last week and what happens next. Now, you don't see the whole thing. You're lost through half of these episodes. Because there's an arc story that you're called to follow. What was Scripture? God help you if you only read bits and pieces. You got to know the arc story. And the arc story for me, I know, is a God who, in times like Luke is talking about, Malachi is talking about, the difficulties Paul is facing, all the time, there's a God who's in the thick of all that, as in the thick of all the rest of it as well. There's a faithful God who reaches out to the world and to God's faithful people in that world and says, I'm with you, and we're going to get through. There have been bad times before. There have been good times before. There have been bad times now. There are good times now. There are bad times to come. There are good times to come, but I'm with you all the way through. So remember that as you read through and watch all the episodes of the series. But that's, I know that. But this past week, it's been a challenge. It's been a challenge to look at some of that, especially at the end of a campaign where, well, Scripture got beaten up a lot. And Christianity didn't get, as far as I'm concerned, the best name for itself through a lot of what we've been listening to and going through. I'm one of those people who now pretty much say, used to say, I'm an Christian. Now I'm sort of saying, I'm an Episcopalian, which is not that kind of Christian. Trying to define and defend this faith. And it's a challenge. So sometimes the Bible isn't there. And so I sat some more saying, all right, Holy Spirit, continue to guide and direct me as I not only preach to you all, but as I preach to myself and try and find comfort and encouragement for whatever it is that lies ahead, the big unknown of what these days and weeks and months and years will bring. And so the Holy Spirit decided to sit with me a little longer and mess with me. She does that a lot. And proceeded to say, well, okay, I'm going to do a guest preacher number on you. Now, parish clergy, I think, are familiar with the guest preacher phenomenon. You loyally serve a congregation for years. And you preach. You preach the best you can. And you tell good news. You proclaim the Word of God to people. And people, they appreciate it. They like it, for the most part. And then a guest preacher comes along and preaches the same blankety-blank sermon as you've been preaching for 20 years, and they love it. Oh, I wish we could have sermons like that all the time. Thank you. Well, thank you, God, at least now they're hearing it. It's the same song, you're just hearing a different voice. Thank you. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to do that number with you. I'm going to let you really follow up on something you really do believe in. When I talk about, as the Holy Spirit dictates or inspires those who create our prayers to say what we're going to pray about, I'm going to let you think about all Holy Scripture. And when I talk about all Holy Scripture, maybe I'm not just talking about Old and New Testaments. I took a vow when I was ordained in front of God, bishop, and everybody. Not necessarily in order, probably the bishop, the God, and everybody. That I believe the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to contain all things necessary to salvation. I believe that. I also believe that that is not an exclusive kind of deal. Because I really do not believe that the only place God talks to us is through the Hebrew and Christian Scriptures. I believe God is talking to us in a lot of different ways. In many, many, many wonderful ways. And even through other scriptures too. There might be some really wonderful stuff that helps resonate with those themes that go through the arc story of our scripture. Maybe I need to have a guest preacher say some of the same things so I can hear it afresh and anew. The psalm this morning talks about us wanting to sing new songs of celebration. I think we need to hear the old song in a new way. So we are reminded, and the Holy Spirit is guiding me elsewhere to say, know some of the stuff that you heard elsewhere and be reminded of the good news, the gospel of the Lord. And so it is I let myself remember. I let myself remember a story from a long time ago. When the Old Testament of the Hebrew Bible was still being written, there were people who were writing stories about, or hearing stories about, a guy who was ready to face a big battle. He was standing on a cliffside and he was looking down at the battlefield to be, seeing the other army and his own army. He was a warrior. His job had always been to be a warrior. But he wondered, what am I supposed to do? I'm not sure about what's ahead. It could be this. It could be this. It could go that way. Some people say it could be this. Some people say it's going to be like that. And his charioteer just turned around and said, look, you're a warrior. Be a warrior. Stop thinking about what could happen. Let go of expectations. You don't know. Do what you're called to do. Be who you are called to be. And the warrior named Arjuna began to listen to the charioteer, his chauffeur, who turned around and revealed himself to be Krishna. He was basically saying, let go of your expectations. Let go of the paralysis of worrying about what is to be and do what's right before you. Do the job you're supposed to do. I hear in that Jesus saying, be not anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got its own problems. Just be here today. Do what you're called to do. Be who you're called to be. And that story is the centerpiece of the Bhagavad Gita, sacred scriptures of many Hindu cultures. Take consolation in that as the guest preacher goes on. The guest preacher, the Holy Spirit, guides me elsewhere to some old poetry. Poetry that tells me, I have just three things to teach. Simplicity, patience, compassion. These three are your greatest treasures. Simple in actions and in thoughts, you return to the source of being. Patient with both friends and enemies, you accord with the way things are. Compassionate toward yourself, you reconcile all beings in the world. And I go, that's what one be the, one of those minor prophets, because I don't remember Isaiah saying that, or Jeremiah. He said, no, Lao Tzu said it in a book called The Tao of Te Ching. And yet I hear Micah talking about living justly, kindly, walking humbly with God. And those scriptures are in a way still being written. We read the writings, the poetry, the books about by saints of God. And I believe, too, there are saints of God that aren't necessarily part of the Lesser Feasts and Fasts or Holy Men and Holy Women calendar in the Episcopal Church. Believe that ever since as a kid I went into a Methodist church out in California and saw a stained glass window with Mahatma Gandhi in it saying, whoa, that's different. And yet, understanding. There are ways in which God's light can shine through a lot of others. Well, one of those saints teaches about how if you wish to experience peace, provide peace for another. If you wish to know that you are safe, cause others to know that they are safe. If you wish to better understand seemingly incomprehensible things, help another to better understand. If you wish to heal your own sadness or anger, seek to heal the sadness or anger of another. Sounds like St. Francis, but it's His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. Of course, considering what the Dalai Lama believes, maybe he was St. Francis. I don't know. But I hear familiar words, comforting words, inspired by God's Spirit in ways outside the normal and yet resonating what I do know. And then a friend of mine this past week, in sharing by email some of her concerns and anxieties, reminded me of another saint's work, a little bit older than the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama's been around for 14 incarnations. So, well, anyway. Jalaluddin Rumi, who wrote a poem that has been translated as Out Beyond Ideas of Wrongdoing and Right Doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. And Jan, my friend, wrote about it because she said, you know, I'm going out into a field tomorrow, and a whole bunch of us are going to be doing some gleaning. We're taking out leftover produce that we're then going to take to a homeless shelter. And I know the people that are going out there, and I know because I've talked with them about how they voted. And we didn't all vote the same way. Politically, we are far from being on the same page, but somehow or another, out in that field, we're able to work together. And with some of them, in another field, together we built a Habitat for Humanity house. Out beyond these ideas and ideologies, there's a field. Let's go there. And as I sat with that, I came back to the Gospels. Today's Gospel, yes, about Jesus saying, endure, persevere. But how do we do that? Well, we're nourished. We're here gathered to be nourished by Christ's body and blood. We're here at the table to be fed and strengthened, to go ahead and face what Monday brings and Tuesday and the week beyond. But with Rumi's poem in mind, I recognized another story of nourishment. Now those biblical scholars in the room will remind us, I hope, if I got this right, that Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about the Last Supper and the bread and the wine. Then you go to John's Gospel and you read about the Last Supper and there's water and feet and towels. And they say, well, where's the Eucharistic narrative? They say it's back in the early part of the book, where Jesus, with his disciples and a whole bunch of folks, 5,000 men, the traditional language says, which means there are a whole lot more, because they didn't count the women and children, but they're out in the field. Jesus has them all sit down. And there, bread is taken and blessed and broken and shared. I imagine among those 5,000 plus people, they had a lot of different ideas and ideologies and ways of thinking and political parties they were members of, but out in that field they are gathered and fed by God and strengthened to rise up and go forth and I pray to feed and serve others. And that's the field I find myself wanting to be in this morning at this table. I want it to be a picnic. Would that the red carpet were green this morning, maybe. Just picture yourself there in that field, being nourished for the journey ahead. Because there will be a journey. We are called to endure, but we don't do this alone. We walk with each other. We walk the way with one among us who will not have us undergoing anything he himself will not undergo and endure, including death. But all the way through it, there is life. And for that, I am here to make Eucharist. And I'm glad to share this Eucharist with you in a truly holy and blessed communion. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.